Jesus Christ. On behalf of the staff, session, and members, we'd like to welcome you to Cook's Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have several announcements to make before we get started. First, I got passed a message that the deacons will meet immediately following church, just for about 5 minutes out in front of the church. So if you're a deacon, please be ready for that right after church in front of it. Over here. Okay, deacons, over there. Our youth will participate in a cookie baking event for the Kairos Prison Ministry today in the Fellowship Hall immediately following worship. You can help by donating cookies. Clayton will be talking more about that. Also, our Cook's Cares cooking class will meet today at 3 p.m. In our Fellowship Hall kitchen. We're going to do pasta carbonara, and it'll be I'll be learning with you. I've made this dish before, but it's been a long time, so this is going to take a little application of reading and getting ready. So please come and join us for that. That's at 3 o'clock today. And then all adults are invited to our Bible study every Sunday at 6 p.m. here in the sanctuary. And our newest topic that we are studying is titled Thrive, Living on Purpose. We are collecting non-perishable food items for Nourish Up each Sunday in September. Collection boxes are in the Narthex and Ed Building entrance. Items most needed are listed in your bulletin. Thank you for helping us feed the hungry in our area. Attention all women at Cook's. Our Presbyterian women cordially invites you to join them in their first monthly circle meeting, 2024-25, this Tuesday, September 10th. The morning circle meets at 10:30 a.m. in room 113, and the evening circle meets at 7 p.m., also in 113. See PD Self if you have any questions. Now join us for our community meal this coming Thursday, September 12th, from 5:30 to 7 at Hillcrest Baptist Church. The menu will be meatloaf, cream, potatoes, veggie, and dessert. Be sure to invite your friends and neighbors to join you. Be sure to note these upcoming events and put them on your calendar. Homecoming is September 22nd. Cereal Box Dominoes on September 29th, Garage Sale on October 5th, World Communion Sunday, October 6th, Fall Festival, October 26th, and more. Be sure to check them all out. The beautiful flowers this morning are in loving memory of Carolyn Thompson Young, given by her children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Those are the announcements that I have this morning before our worship, and we've got one mission focus. Are there any other announcements that we need to make? Yeah, Dale. Okay, what time is that? 7:30 next Sunday, men of the church meet. Everybody hear that? Okay, very good. Any other announcements? All right, Clayton.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, 2 weeks we've got Kairos. We're very excited. For the first time ever, we have seven tables. The way it works is there are six inmates at a table, plus we have a clergy, we have a table leader, and an assistant table leader. And each table has a table servant. So we're excited to have this many men coming on board. The chaplain selects the men that go on the walk. They have to fill out an application. And we've had some incredible stories just based on the application process. There was one guy, I remember, that he was getting ready to get out the next month. And he had applied 15 years, and he had not gotten in. He got in the time right before he was to be let go. So that was exciting. But cookies, they want us to do more cookies. I guess in the world, you can never have enough cookies. So instead of 100 dozen, they are wanting 150 dozen per each of us on the team. So today, the youth are going to bake cookies. And so we are asking for cookie support. If you're a cookie baker and make cookies, that would be great. They don't have to be made. They can be store-bought. You can also donate in the back. There is a sheet to sign up for cookies. If you can sign your name and how many dozen, when you do your cookies, whether they're homemade or not, they need to be in dozens in quart bags. And they need to be see-through, because everything that goes in the prison cannot be enclosed. Everything has to be see-through because they're screened. So that would be wonderful. Kairos starts 2 weeks from Tuesday. So the last day to turn in the cookies will be 2 weeks from today, which happens to be homecoming Sunday. Also, we have a prayer wheel. The cool thing is that we have people praying every hour, 24 hours, the whole 72 hours we're there. And each day they bring in this massive wheel, and we have ladies that write every single name in that time frame so the wheel's full. And it's really cool when the men see that you've got this wheel with all these people praying for them that don't know them. So if you would like to participate in that, you can sign up back there for a specific time, and then I'll take that and we'll add that to the wheel. So like if it's 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, it'll have a space and you'll see all these names filled just in that one time slot, and then picture a whole wheel. So it's really cool. Obviously, everything that we do starts and ends with prayer. So continue to pray for us, pray for the team. Jason and I are on the team again, so I'm excited for it. Thank you so much for your support.
Wheel is a great low investment way to participate in this ministry. All you have to do is agree to pray for an hour, and you don't have to do it at 1 in the morning unless you just want to. Generally, we have partners overseas that are up during those times during the day, so we don't need the overnight hours as much as we need daytime hours. So if you've got a chance, bake a dozen cookies. You never see butter, flour, sugar, and eggs to create more change than that. And secondly, please sign up for the prayer wheel, and because it's just it's a good way to live out the life that Christ calls us to. Today was, of course, Rally Day. Paige set us up with a wonderful spread, and the mission is to celebrate Christian education at this church. The program of Christian education we have at this church for a small church is a robust one. We have Sunday schools. We have a Bible study. We have ways to connect with the Word of God and with your belief and to deepen it. And today, it's all about celebrating the teachers and thanking them and commissioning the teachers for the new year. And so, Paige, if you'll come forward and help us do that.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome this Sunday. We are here to celebrate all the wonderful teachers and their hard work and dedication and the lives that they touch. I don't think that the teachers understand how much they mean to these fellow adults and children as well. So I just want you to know that you guys are touching people's lives, and we want to thank you for that. So as I call your name, if you don't mind coming up, we have a little gift for you.
And staying here, yeah.
Yes, and stay here, please. Starting with the adult Sunday school class, our one teacher is Johnny Quinn. And then we have Miss Jeannie McClure. And then, as most of you guys know, my mom battled cancer this year, and she is cancer-free, which is wonderful. So, with that, she was not here for most of the some of the Sunday school year. So, we want to make sure the teachers are recognized that did step in her place while she was not here. So, one is Bev Weldy. And the other is Petey Self. Is she not Petey? Not here?
Okay.
All right. And then moving on to the other adult class, which is a viewpoint class, we have Reg King. And now we're going to move to our young ones. So we're going to have Mr. Jack. Miss Kelly. And Miss Diane Black. And then we're going to go move to our youth, which is our middle school and high school, along with myself. We have Beth Knowles. And I am excited to say that we will be having an elementary ed classroom this year, and we will be introducing those teachers in just a few minutes. There you go. Thank you. So let's just give everyone an applause here just to thank them for all the wonderful work that they have done for us.
Well, yeah, we want to just say a prayer, but we do want to commission the new teachers.
Right. So we do have, like I was mentioning, we do have an elementary class that we are starting this fall. So we are excited to have Natalie Bryant as one of our teachers. She's going to be our lead teacher. And then we also have Linda Lynn and Dina Stanford, who will be assisting as needed. So we would like for them to come forward as well, please. Thank you.
Well, we just stand in awe of all the accomplishments that the teachers, both past, present, and future, have done for the church. And we want to thank you sincerely, because we know that it does require an extra dedication and an extra effort from the Lord. But the blessing is yours, the fruit of the Spirit that you've enjoyed and will continue to enjoy as you pour your life into sharing the good news with other people. And so let us go now to the Lord in prayer as we pray for that. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we thank you that your education ministry thrives and is so robust here at Cook's Church. We appreciate the gift of your Holy Spirit that makes that learning possible. Heavenly Fathers, bless these teachers with the sureness of both our thanks and our gratitude, as well as our earnest thanks, Father God. Allow them to know fully how grateful we are, as well as how grateful you are that they are undertaking this ministry by your Holy Spirit's power. Continue to engage with them, allowing them to deepen their walk in Christ so that they might deepen others' walk as they go forward. Bless these teachers, keeping them safe and continuing to share your good news with this congregation. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your work.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
And the skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
His greatness is unsearchable beyond all measure.
Let us lift up our voices in awe and wonder.
For the Lord our God is mighty, and his love endures forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather before you today with hearts wide open, each of us bringing our joys, our struggles, and our hopes into your holy and everlasting presence. We release our burdens into your loving hands, trusting that you, our refuge and strength, will hold us in your tender care. In this moment, we seek to feel your presence, your joy, and your love binding us together as one in Jesus Christ. As we lift our voices in worship, may our songs and prayers rise to you like sweet incense. Let your Spirit move among us, touching our hearts, stirring our souls, and reminding us of your constant presence. May today be a day of renewal where we leave this place transformed by the power of your grace. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of worshiping together, for the freedom to praise your name, and for the promise of your presence with us. We welcome you here, honor you, and pray all of this in the mighty and strong and holy and everlasting name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I invite those of you who are able to rise now and join me in singing verses 1 through 4 and 6 today. And yet we do so by the grace of God. And as we do so, we confess our sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, encountering God's gracious mercy and love. So we speak boldly now with our prayer of confession, confessing those shortfalls in our lives with the expectation of knowing God's love more intimately. So join me as we pray using the words of this morning's prayer of confession. Merciful God, we come before you with humble hearts, acknowledging the ways we have fallen short of your glory. We confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfishness, our pride, and our lack of love. Cleanse us from our sins and renew a right spirit within us, that we may walk in your ways and reflect your light in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I declare to you this wonderful and awesome and holy truth, that by his blood we have been cleansed of our sins and returned to full fellowship with God the Father, from whence we can expect to enjoy his fellowship now by the power of the Holy Spirit and into the kingdom to come for all eternity. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Now let us sing what we believe.
We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And He's coming back again. We believe.
Please be seated, and we'd like to invite the kids and youth to come forward for a time that's just for them.
Good morning, kids. How are we?
Good morning.
Doing good? How's school? School good so far?
Pretty good.
Pretty good? Okay. Like your schedule? Like the teachers? Pretty much? Good. Good. Well, today's word is hope. So when you think of the word hope, what comes to mind? What comes to mind with hope? A snow day. There you go. I like that. Yeah, a snow day. I don't know if that's going to happen this week, but keep that thought. That's good. Huh? Even if it does snow, you're not safe. I'm sorry to hear that. Yes. What else about hope? What else about hope? I can, yes. Hope is something that you want to happen, right? Like you hope you might get candy for the day, or you hope you might get a stuffed animal. But you know, a lot of times, and those are good things, and we can put our hope in things, but you know what? We want to also put our hope in people. You put your hope in your parents and your grandparents and your friends and the people that God puts in our lives, and we hope that we get as many of those people as we can because they love us and they take care of us. But who do you think the number one person we have hope in? Who is that? God. Good answer. Way to go, Lily. Be proud. Yes, we have hope because God gives us hope. It's as simple as that. We can't come up with hope on our own. The only way we are allowed to hope is because of God. And God gave us hope because of Jesus Christ, because we're saved. And because we're saved, we are free. John wrote in his gospel, he said, if you know the truth shall set you free. And so we have a living hope that is within us. Paul says that in the scripture. We walk around as living hopes because we have the salvation of Christ. Okay? So think about that in your relationships in every day. Your parents, your friends, all the people that you come in contact with, we hope because God has put those people in our lives. We're saved because we have that hope. Okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your life. Thank you for your death that gives us hope. Be with us this day. Thank you for the people in our lives. Because of your love, we always have hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can go.
The song today that we are doing comes from the Gospel of John. Jesus told his disciples, "Peace that I give to you, not as the world gives, but what I give to you." And that's the hope that we have every day. And so this song comes directly from that.
Peace give I to thee, peace give I to thee, not as the world give I to thee, peace give I to thee. Joy give I to thee, joy give I to thee, not as the world give I to thee, joy give I to thee. Give I to thee, hope give I to thee, not as the world give I to thee, hope give I to thee. Love give I to thee, love give I to thee, not as the world give I to thee, love give I to thee. Love give I to thee.
How old are you, Bryson, now?
About to turn
15. Think about where that kid's going to be in another 5 years. What a blessing. We come now into a time for reading and proclaiming of God's word. And as always, before we do, we have a prayer for illumination. So let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, speak to us now afresh and anew. Come to us by word and by spirit, illuminating for us your will so that we can walk in your light and follow you in your way. Be with us in this reading and proclamation, illuminating for us your path, letting us know how we should serve you, what we should do to change, and how we should glorify you more greatly with our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Old Testament scripture this morning is Psalm 13. The text can be found on page 537 in the Pew Bibles, or it should appear up here on the screen. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
That's just such a great psalm for us as we encounter difficulty and sorrow in our lives. The psalmist acknowledges his lowly state, his sorrow before the Lord. You can sense that he is not where he or she would want to be. And yet the appeal to God is one that is expected to be returned. The calling for God isn't a question, it's an expectation of God's impending arrival and assuagement of the situation. This psalm speaks to us in the dark times in our life because it reminds us that even when things are tough, we are able to reach up to the Lord and find and encounter an answer, the truth of the Lord that will comfort our soul in times of distress. Our reading today is from Ephesians, and I do have to give you a fair warning. When I sit down to do the bulletin, it's Tuesday, and generally when I write the sermon is like Thursday. So there is a little disconnect, unfortunately, between the title of the sermon and the actual preached final variant, and I should warn you that ahead of time. I'm sorry if you're a Star Wars fan that I've chosen A New Hope and I'm throwing that away. But I think probably a better understood title for this sermon would be Faith and Works. So let me read now to you from Ephesians 4, chapter 17, verses rather, 17 through 24. Hear now this word of our Lord. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, standing alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and they have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, and greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, something kind of sentimental happened to me this week that I want to share with you about just very briefly. I was on my way to the church early one morning around 8:30, and as I walked in, I started grabbing keys, and I realized I grabbed my key to the house, right? This place has become like to another home to me. And then the funny thing was, is when I got home, I pulled out the key to the church to go into my house. So in a way, church and home, because of the nature of my job, have kind of blurred. This is a home away from home for me. And I hope, I really hope it is for you as well. This place is filled with so much life and energy. It'd be a shame to think that I was the only one living here in love. And I know I'm not. There's many of you that have the same level of love for this church and beyond that I do. But what it struck for me is just what a radical change. If you had known me 25 years ago, if you had known me in the year 2000, you'd have thought, there is just no way this guy is ever going to be a pastor, right? Like, that would have been the most absurd statement. You'd have been better off saying that I was going to be an Olympian in gymnast than you would have been saying that I was going to be a pastor. I was that far off of the mark. So I want to tell you that as I read these passages from Ephesians, as Paul is talking to his congregation, imploring them not to go back to the old ways of living. That's the point of this message, very clearly. That there is a great life in Jesus Christ. There's an amazing life that fulfills all your needs. And the contrast is to live in the futility of your own mind, which is language that we've heard just now from Paul that we can't miss. So do not go back to the old ways of life is what Paul is talking about. And if we remember Ephesians, if we remember Paul reaching Ephesus, this is at the very beginning of his third missionary journey. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. As Paul encountered Ephesus, he encountered a culture that was ripe with idolatry of all different kinds of foreign gods and foreign practices that was grieved his soul. It was so perverse at the time that when he got there, so filled with idolatry that Paul was troubled to the very heart of who he was. And yet Paul leaves Ephesus as he continues on, and that leaves those churches largely without a spiritual mentor, let's say. And so Paul fills that gap by writing letters. Now, these letters would have been known as what's encyclicals, meaning that as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, that was this letter would have been read in all of the churches of Ephesus that he had planted or had been planted subsequently. So it was designed to be read by the entire community, a community that was largely Gentile. Remember, now we've talked about this in its character. In Ephesus, the first people that got the message were the Jews. But then, remember last week, we talked about how Paul began teaching in the hall of Tyrannus. And this message of Jesus Christ began to reach out into the marketplace and beyond. In fact, if we'll remember, the silver trade was very important for the cult of Diana. And the thing is, what we learned in Acts was that Paul's evangelicalism was so robust that it began to mess with the silver trade, and that led to a riot. So Paul had had a tremendous effect in Ephesus. But as I said, he had left, and the churches probably got into some problems. That was tended to be the nature of things. And so Paul writes to them passionately in his letter to the Ephesian churches. This book is marked by a very profound split between two halves of the book. In fact, if you were to look at the first three chapters and the last three chapters, you may well think of them being different works entirely. But they are hinged together, if you will, by these particular passages that I've read this morning. That this message of God comes after three whole chapters of theology. Now, Ephesians is every bit as theological in the first three chapters as Romans is in its entirety. It's very emphatic about how people are saved, and we can't miss it. We are saved not by our works, but rather through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we receive by faith. That's an important term. It's our faith, ultimately, that's the gift of the Holy Spirit that saves us. And so it goes into that story. It talks about a God that in the fullness of time was made flesh. And that's, of course, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, fully God, fully God's Son, chose to live a life in humanity. Now, this would have been a massive change. Can you imagine going from the fullness of being unbounded in time and space to having to live a finite life? Well, that's what Jesus Christ was able to do. And that's what Paul talks about, that sacrificial life and death that Jesus Christ lived and what it means for us. And what it means for us is that by faith, by grace, we are saved, not through our works, but by God's gracious action. Don't miss that. If we were called to save ourselves, we couldn't do it. That's part of the problem with this passage, isn't it? because this passage alerts us to a trend that sometimes is difficult. It's a trend toward backsliding. Backsliding is a term I learned from my Methodist friends. I think David probably has heard it more than I have, having worked in Methodist circles for as many years as he did. Backsliding presumes that their new life has started, and that yet the old body of sin continues to work, and soon we find ourselves crashed back into the former ways of doing things. This is the natural tendency of our lives. And something Paul wants us to be very aware of is that we do have this tendency to fall back into former ways. And he doesn't want that for us. He wants for us the fullness of faith in Jesus Christ. But that's where he begins teasing out what is faith in Jesus Christ comprised of. And here we get to one of the greatest debates or arguments that we can encounter sometimes in the church. Is it faith, or is it knowledge rather, or is it works? You see, we get things kind of polarized sometimes. Sometimes we'll meet those people that think it's all about what you know. Do you know the Bible from beginning to end? Do you understand the theology of the church as a theologian? How's your knowledge of Jesus? How are you with that? Some people will focus almost exclusively on what you know. That's kind of the orthodoxy of the church. And that becomes kind of a way by which people litmus test others, right? If you don't somehow know or understand the Bible theology or have the same commitment to relationship with Jesus Christ as somebody else, all of a sudden, you're a second-class Christian in their mind. When we put the emphasis entirely on what we know, we sometimes lose the thread on bigger things. We have to have practice as well. And it reminds me of one of the greatest things I ever saw with my own two eyes. Hadn't seen it, I wouldn't have believed it. But I actually did see a boy that is legally blind play a game of 3-on-3 basketball competitively and win. It was the most amazing thing I had ever encountered. David, yeah, he knows about this. That was a Methodist kid. He probably heard about it in the Methodist church. It was a Methodist kid named Adam. Anyway, what they were able to do is they had choreographed the movements of the other two players so intricately that it was like a dance. And that it led to breaks. They would set picks, and it led to this blind kid getting open for shots. And wouldn't you know it, the kid was a heck of a shot. And they won. The other team was playing. This wasn't some laydown. This was an actual event, but they had done something very wise. Now, if that kid had only known about basketball just in his mind, he'd have never been able to do that. But what he was able to do by God's grace and God's Spirit is to take that knowledge of the game of basketball and translate it into a practice that was conducive to winning. He had both the faith in the Lord that whatever he wanted to do was possible. That was the grounding of his belief that he could do it. Was he read the Bible and believed that there was nothing impossible for God. And he was committed. So he had the knowledge both of the sport as well as the knowledge of our Lord. But then he went out and dedicated himself to ongoing practice. I can't imagine how many hours these kids must have spent running that dance. And then I'm sorry to use that word, but that's kind of what it looked like. It must have taken hundreds of hours of this dedication to one another and learning this play. But he was able to do it. And it is draws to our minds that we are able to both believe and know as well as act in furtherance of our faith. Because we're not to backslide. That's what Paul is getting at. When Paul talks about the futility of mind, he is referring to the emptiness and uselessness of thinking that is disconnected from God's truth. This futility describes a way of thinking that leads nowhere, focused on worldly or selfish concerns without acknowledging God. It results in a mind darkened in understanding, hardened to spiritual truth, and unable to comprehend or embrace the life God offers. essentially, Paul is warning believers not to live like the Gentiles who are trapped in the meaningless and spiritually dead patterns of thought. Imagine for a moment that someone is constantly chasing after material success and personal achievements, believing that the next promotion, car, or house will bring lasting happiness. They pour all of their energy into work, accumulating possessions and social status, yet they always feel empty on the inside. Despite reaching their goals, they remain unsuccessful, unsatisfied, restless, and discontented from their deeper purpose. This person might dismiss spiritual matters as irrelevant or unimportant, focusing only on temporary gains. In the end, their pursuit feels futile because it lacks any connection to the greater meaning of life that comes from acknowledging God. I ran into that as I prepared this sermon, and I thought it was pretty profound. What it's telling us, very simply, is that when we live in the futility of our minds, we're not living the fullness of life as God intended it for us. What do I mean by that? Well, if we turn the pages of our Bible back to the very beginning in Genesis, and we look at our creation, what we find is that we were created by a loving God and given some very clear instructions. We were to glorify God by bearing his image in it, and we were called to be stewards of the earth. Now, in a New Testament context, as we think about what does it mean to be stewards of all creation in Jesus Christ, we include now the mission so that everyone should know about Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate one that connects us with our creation, which reminds us that we were created to glorify God and to serve him. And that thus, when we are glorifying God and serving God with every bit of energy, with the fullness of the marrow of our lives, we will encounter the abundant life that God talks about in John 10:10. There is an amazing life to be had as we make these two pieces come together, this knowledge of God and this working toward his ends. We're going to know more and more about the goodness of life and how we won't want to go back to the futility of our minds where all we thought about was ourselves, me, myself, and I. That can be a pretty terrible loop to live in, and one that can lead us to frustration, irritability, discontentedness, and can even lead to the misery of those around us, because a miserable person tends to make other people miserable. It just seems to be an axiomatic calling on life. But what we can know and trust is that God is at work through the power of his Holy Spirit. He truly is giving us a new hope through his Son, Jesus Christ, because we're reminded that as we know more and more about him, and as we see that knowledge lead to more and more practice, what we will find is ourselves resting more comfortably in this world, feeling more contentment in this world, feeling more at peace in this world. It happens as we align ourselves more and more with God's calling. As we think about it, if we think about faith and works, imagine a tree and our knowledge is the root system going deep into the ground. And then our practice is the fruit that we bear from that knowledge. Our knowledge informs what we do, and what we do informs how we understand Jesus Christ. Because as we're serving Jesus, we're going to see amazing things happen. I saw a blind kid win a 3-on-3 basketball game, all because I've walked by the grace of God. I got to see that. I know you've seen even more amazing things because I've gotten a chance in my 5 years here to share time with you and hear your stories and to know of the amazing things that you've encountered and experienced in God too. So we know this to be the truth. I'll never forget, friends, one time when I was in divinity school, we had a plan. We were going to make some gumbo. And of course, anybody that knows Cajun food knows that gumbo has to have rice to be served. Well, we were on our way back from the Target. We had gotten all of our supplies. And all of a sudden, one of the young women in the car realized there was a problem. "I left my rice cooker in Texas," she said. And the other girls in the car all started lamenting. Gumbo was off the table. We couldn't do rice. I asked the girls, did they have any water? And they replied, yes. I asked them if they had any salt. They replied, yes. I asked them if they had a pot and a lid. They said, yes. I said, good news. We're having gumbo tonight. Friends, everything that this church offers enables you to do both. We have learning and we have opportunities to serve. So plug into those. You want the fullness of this experience. You want to know what it is to live and walk fully in the light of Jesus Christ. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, as you do so more and more, you will encounter the joy and the peace and the certainty that Christ is alive and that he is coming. And that when he comes, he will usher us into a time and place that we can't hardly even imagine. It's a place that the Bible tells us is without time. Time is absurd in the kingdom because there is so much of it. It's a place where the Lord's word tells us there's no sickness. That means that our bodies will not be ravaged by the effects of sin in the world because sin will be removed. And we'll live in a place where the lion will lay down with the sheep and the child will play with the adder. Friends, that's where we're headed as we put this piece, two pieces of the puzzle. As we put our knowledge to God together with our practice to God, we will find the wholeness of God. And that is a peace beyond all understanding. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer in which we lift up to the Lord those things that have weighed down on us. We lift up to the Lord those friends and brothers and sisters in Christ that are struggling. We pray because we believe that God not only listens to, but hears and responds to our prayers. So let us pray robustly. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be gathered to hear your word read and proclaimed and to share the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we recognize there are places in this world where doing such would lead to death. And Father God, so we pray for the expansion of your church in those places where she is persecuted, O God. Be with those worshiping in danger today, God, giving them the fullness of your knowledge and lifting their hearts up to you, just as you do the same with us. Heavenly Father, we pray for this world broken by sin, and we pray for this nation. Heavenly Father, as we come into yet another election season, we just pray that you would share with us peace, that you would make certain that we know that the sovereignty of the Lord is the most important thing and everything else secondary to that. Bless us with peace during this time and certainty in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, do we pray for those who are sick or grieving or lonely or anxious? And so today, Heavenly Father, on our list, we name Charlie McCrary, Ronnie Peterson. We pray for Ellen Jackson. We pray for Sharon Gilmore and for Nancy Smith. And we pray for the many others that are in need of our intercessory prayer. We pray for all of the names on our prayer list. And we pray for those needs that are unnamed today, that we hold silently in our heart, as well as we pray for those needs unknown to us, but known to you, Father God. For you indeed are a great and awesome God, worthy of all, Father God. And we thank you for allowing us to follow you, to love you, to be forgiven by you, and to find ourselves serving you, enjoying the abundance of life now, awaiting the eternity of life to come. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of that coming kingdom, and we make them all these prayers to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray in this fashion. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now we'll take time. Please use that to reflect on the sermon or give to the church electronically, if that be your intent. Thank you. It's such a great day at the church, y'all. Such a great day to live out both our faith and knowledge in God as well as our practice in serving Him. Immediately following worship, the youth will gather with me for confirmation. And then we're going to bake some cookies at 3 o'clock. Don't forget. We'll come back and learn how to make pasta carbonara. Then at 6, that's a great time to come back and enjoy a class with Freddie that is really just such a sweet time. And also now at the end of service, if you have a need, a prayer need, something that's weighing on your heart, we have a prayer room that's open with dedicated volunteers to pray with you. So please avail yourself of that after the service if necessary. If not, enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Enjoy time with your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen.
I know. So we're going to do this twice. So please stand as we're going out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will bring forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hand as you go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands as you go out with joy.